Visit SherryKhoff.com. That's SherryKhoff.com for more podcast episodes, or you can say, Alexa, play the Sherry K. Hoff Show. This podcast is syndicated globally, and you can listen anywhere where you're listening to your other podcasts. Some examples are Apple, Google, Podlink, Podcast Addict, Spotify, and many more. Hello, hello. This is Sherry from the Sherry K. Hoff Show, and I would love to welcome you here today. And I have a surprising guest. We're going to kind of step off the path and bring in someone who it's just kind of a new and juicy topic here on the show. And so I'd like to introduce you to Richard Blank, and he is an expert in call centers, an expert in soft sell, personal soft skills with people. And so we are just going to have a beautiful conversation. And he is in Costa Rica, a beautiful place. I haven't been there, but I have friends who have houses there. So I'm sure I'm going to visit soon. Maybe we'll have a margarita together or something like that. That sounds like fun, right?
Absolutely.
So welcome, Richard. How are you today?
I'm great. Pura Vida. Thank you so much, Sherry, for having me on your show. It's very nice to meet your audience and to spend some very, very nice quality time with you today.
Yeah. So you bring to us 27 years of experience, and you are a CEO. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about leadership. We're going to talk about selling skills, which sometimes small business owners resist the idea, or they get nervous about those kinds of conversations with people, and they start focusing on, you know, is this person going to say yes or no before they're even in the conversation? Mm-hmm. So I just would love for you to open up with, you know, what is it? What is that sales conversation, and how can it be a positive experience for the person doing it and the person on the other end too?
It's one of my favorite questions. The first thing I address, Sherry, is fear. It's a morbid anticipation of something that hasn't happened yet. You have my permission to be afraid of spiders and needles and other things like that. But something mental, I think you and I are much stronger. So that's number one. Number two is I don't really see myself as a salesman. I see myself as an educator, because, Sherry, you and I just don't force anybody's hand. They choose to listen to us. So from an educated point of view, we make a decision. So it's our responsibility to be properly prepared, to know our rebuttals, to know the answers, but also to show some empathy on these phone calls. I believe that when someone is too well rehearsed and they know their lines too much, they become a print. They lose their painting status. They become commercialized. They'll grind out the numbers and make their calls that day and get their metrics, but they won't be an ace. They won't have that sort of empathetic connection that you have with people. I'll give you an example. One of the simple things people do is never ask a follow-up question to something. If somebody mentions they have a dog, you say, that's great, I love it, but what's the dog's name? These are certain things that can ground you and have conversations about normal things. That just doesn't have to be about appointment or sale. And so I think if you just start calls off that way, more of a centered approach on how you were raised, with manners and being polite, but also being generally interested in what the other person is doing, your conversations might last a little bit longer, but you'll have more conversions as well. So don't rush to make your 100 phone calls that day, Sherry. I'd rather you make 60 phone calls that day. And every phone call, we spend a couple more minutes talking about good things in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what about in some businesses, you know, it might be more like, you know, 6 phone calls, depending on, you know, the type of package people are selling. You know, if you're selling like a $10,000 coaching package, you're probably talking to more, you know, high quality leads. Okay. And so you're not looking at like that volume of, you know, 100 calls or 60 calls. I think I think some of my clients would have a heart attack thinking about that number. but I love your point about that, you know, that, you know, it's about engagement. So, you know, when we, before we jumped on here, we talked a little bit about the spiritual side of business, and you are kind of a rebel in that, you know, you pursued your dream, maybe in spite of people who were a little bit resistant or didn't understand. And so talk a little bit about what it's like to have a dream and maybe have the people around you not understand that dream.
First is, you got to know if you have a dream, because when you're growing up, a lot of people will offer you very strong opinions and expect you to follow them. Or they might even give your career or your future, it could be predestined. Could already have it planned out for you. So when all of my friends in high school back in Northeast Philadelphia at Abington, they were going to Ivy League. They were studying medicine and law, architecture, engineering, and other degrees. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And that scared me a little bit. Not in the sense that I couldn't do something. It's the fact that all these people had their lives planned out the next 20 years. And here I am at 18, wondering what to do. This is what I did know, that my favorite class in high school was Spanish. Also recess, but you can't major in that. So I majored in Spanish at the University of Arizona, and I minored in recess. It's Arizona. I also chose to be a communication major. And just like you, Sherry, you're an incredible public speaker. So I decided to study that. I also majored in rhetoric. You know, you want to make sure that you give a proper delivery and your message is clear. And a special sauce, I decided to study micro expression reading so I could master body language and see if I can get some positive reinforcement with those with whom I'm speaking. And so these are the sort of things that assisted me in my early 20s to become a little bit more, more balanced and impulse control, because there were certain things I would react to. And other things, I realized that it's just the way that people are communicating. And if I had the time to be able to break things down, explain my way, and really, as I say before, show active listening skills to the other people, letting them know that that's an excellent question, repeating back the question that they asked you, and boomeranging back with some plus two smile, there's a very good way you can readjust tones of conversation and move them forward. And that's what it is, Sherry. We just need checkpoints. We just got to make sure every couple minutes that everything's cool and we can continue. If not, then maybe it's for my clarification. I might need to ask something. And these are the sort of soft skills that can reduce any sort of conflict management and can enhance any sort of experience with people, because you're not being offensive. You're just being a little bit assertive. And you're making sure that you're showing empathy towards this conversation. And it won't ruin your center, won't ruin your zen and your balance, your juju. Your, you know, in my opinion, I get to a certain point in a conversation where my clients will start saying my name. And it's not in the introduction or the conclusion when we're confirming this. It's, we made that sort of anchor in the middle of the call. And that's when I can loosen my tie, sit back, have a sip of coffee, and let Mr. Jones tell me certain things. And I know everything's going to be okay. So instead of distracting yourself with the end result, which will come, you should be focusing on the now and where you are in this exact moment, because it can take a second for the world or the conversation to change. And so if somebody can be in that sort of mindset, and there are other techniques for that, which you have definitely shown us on your videos, I prefer breathing techniques. I prefer using pronouns and name drops, so at least I can bring people back into conversations. And those are the sort of things that Sherry, that all these years and the 10,000s of phone calls I've heard, that the action created a positive reaction with the clients. And so we realized we cracked certain codes in regards to interpersonal communication.
I love that. And don't you think that the success in really in anything starts with the heart? So when you're truly loving your product, loving the service that you offer, and loving other people, like before I get on a call with someone, I just concentrate on sending like waves of love to them. And also reminding myself that it's not about me at all. It's all about them. And, you know, I'm in the place of truly caring, not pretending to care, but truly caring about the person that I'm talking to. And so, you know, what are your thoughts on that kind of style? And how, you know, is there somebody who, you know, like I tell people, you know, if you don't like people, you shouldn't own a business, because a business is about people, you know? and so if you don't like people, you don't like talking to people, you need to do some kind of research in a lab or something. And that's fine. There are people like that, but maybe speak to that a little bit.
I want to first address the last thing that you had mentioned in regards to your personality and sending love. Your building up of energy, I think you can show them on the first 3 seconds of any call. I love using anonymity, but I can't do it for an entire conversation. That's kind of shady. But if the first thing I'm going to say is not, how are you? Or my name is Richard, I would like to say Sherry, you know, or the name of your company, and ask how the company is doing today. Why? Because it can get a gatekeeper or the business owner out of this zone that you say where they don't want to speak with people. But if somebody calls with sunshine, or says the name of your company better than you do and asks how the company's doing, it's just an excellent way to show Sherry. It's an excellent first impression. It's right out of the gate. It's like a James Bond movie. The first couple of minutes, amazing, amazing. Here she goes. And she has momentum. And so I think that's important. So at least you can showcase yourself prior to any sort of other introductions, and it can reduce that. You get some points for that. Now, in regards to an environment, it's the environment that this individual takes. It's everybody has the same gym, the same football field, the same office environment. It depends on the coaches, the supervisors, and the leaders. I myself, Sherry, since I grew up in the 80s and I love the show Silver Spoons, I wanted my own arcade. So I have pinball machines, I got Pac-Man, I got a ski machine and air hockey table. So unlike other bosses, to answer your question, I made a work play environment. So instead of the agents going outside for a smoke or to sit on their phone looking at things or just in the corner eating by themselves, individuals from other departments get a chance to hang out together. And they can keep their skills sharp. They can give themselves some steam to be ready to go, or they can let off some steam, you know, if they had a tough phone call. And Sherry, I've even seen people fall in love by the Pac-Man machine. So do what you want.
That's great.
And so happy is happy does. And I have a very happy home here. It's a serious environment, but I dress for it. I know everybody's name, Sherry, from the moment they walk in, and they go, wow, you're the first boss that ever knew my name. And I go, first, that's a shame. And I go, unfortunately, it might be the last one that ever does. But while you're with me, while we're cruzando caminos, when we're crossing paths and walking together, I'm going to make sure that you get better. I'm going to increase your self-reliance. Sherry, it's important for me to improve your self-confidence. And by doing so, we'll increase your vocabulary by using a thesaurus, because English is their second language. So instead of using words like help, which really is not in our vocabulary, you and I use words like guide, lend a hand, things like that, because it's the same message, Sherry, but it's such a different delivery. I always believe you can gain points on delivery. And so we reduce any sort of miscommunication or any sort of offense. As you said prior to this call today, it's all about being confident and being empathetic. You keep going around compassion. Well, I have compassion for myself because I could earn a living many different ways. No one ever told me how to start a call center. So this was a vision quest that I had when I was 18. So I'm still on this spiritual journey, but really, if you do not care about the people that work with you, and because you know they have to feed families and they have large responsibilities, and you could mold them, and the proper leadership is by example. I just don't write checks for them. I can get on the phone anytime and assist a client or close a deal. I could do what you see in the movies if that's what you want to see. But this is not a boiler room environment. These are professionals here. We have Amazon and HP and Intel and Oracle in Costa Rica. So the scalability and the quality of these bilingual agents with their infrastructure is incredible. We can compete. And so they have options. I have more of a natural attrition, Sherry, than a forced attrition. People will leave me because their boyfriend or girlfriend works at another center, or the scheduling because of school, or sometimes it's money. But very rarely, if not never, someone will be walking out of this door saying, I'm quitting today because Richard Blank defaced me on the floor because he was too aggressive during training. He didn't care. And so that's how I, as a man, can look in the mirror and hold my head up high and look at myself, because I can respect myself, because I'm feeding 150 families a month. And that was what my goal is. Success, my friend, Sherry, is built on 1 million thank yous. And the fact that I'm a guest in this country, speaking their language, I've been embraced. And so I know I'm in the right environment because I get cosquillas, I get these chills, I get these six senses. I can taste it, that I'm doing the right thing. And that's why I believe we're on this call today. You take your show very seriously, and I got vetted just like all your other guests. But I think both you and I had the same goal, that we were hoping that we had things in common so we could connect. And I passed that test. And that's why I'm extremely grateful to be on this podcast with you today, Sherry, because you were so good, you caught my attention. It was really good that I could sit through not only one episode, but I've been watched for a little while. My supervisors and I did. And then I wrote you. And this is where we are today. So if anybody wants to learn a lesson about relationship building and energy connecting, this is a 3,000-mile connection that we did here. And it was done in just a couple of weeks. And that's what makes the world beautiful, Sherry.
Oh, I love that. I mean, and thank you. And thank you for being here today. So, you know, and I could talk to you for 8 hours. Maybe we need to have like an 8-hour marathon sometime, yeah, or go to Sedona together. I don't know. But I want to go back to something that you started to talk about, and that was micro expression and studying micro expression. And what is that? And how can people who, you know, just maybe in a job that they have or their small business, how can they pay attention to micro expression to improve communication, improve results?
We can look at it two ways, Sherry. And it is a wonderful topic. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Most people refer to micro expression reading when you're reading the face or body language, from haptics, touch, proxemic spacings, facial expressions, blinking, object and self adapters. There's so many categories you can observe. I believe, I stand behind this, that the purest form of expression reading is through phonetics. So it's literally sight unseen. It's the purest form because you could mask everything else. Follow me quick here. This will go in some easy steps. I'll do it in about 1 minute. I'm going to run through this thing. Phonetics is done in four different ways. You have your tone, rate, pitch, and your duration. We discussed earlier that the tone represents your emotion. It should be empathetic and confident. That's the consistent variable. I could care less what the tone of the client is. I just want to make sure it's positive. You and I need to stay focused on the rate and the pitch, how fast and how loud somebody speaks. It may seem like common sense, but when you analyze it for 30-second to 2-minute intervals, regardless of the semantic, regardless of the word choice or the rhetoric, purely sound, do it in a foreign language so you can really practice it. Let's get back to English. You are paying attention to how they spike or how they dip within 30 seconds after you've done a couple minutes worth of reading, because you see a consistent pattern. When this happens, in my personal opinion, it's a perfect time for the client to ask a tie down, pin down, or a confirmation question. Just, it's a checkpoint. Sherry, does this make sense? Sounds good, right, Sherry? For my clarification, ABC or 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Just because there might be adjustments. Could that be manipulated? Yes. That's why I believe the ultimate tell sign, and that's why the police and interrogators use this, they use the answering speed. I can always mask a tone. I can yell at you. I can pause and not answer. But my reactions to you is pretty much your id. You can't control that. That's your inner persona. And so I believe that if you use that as an insurance policy from your spike or your dip rate and pitch with an answering speed, and you study that every 30 seconds to 2 minutes, you will have a controlled conversation to see if you need to interject and ask a follow-up. Or you could possibly rake certain questions by saying, I'm sure you like at least one. Since you have me on the phone, are there any questions you may have? These are certain sort of strategic questions you could ask these people in case you are not sure. And so after about 3 weeks, it becomes habit. You can still do this while you're doing your job. It's just something that's subconscious. But once you start paying attention to that, like if somebody has a tick and starts scratching, it's a tell sign that he's got a good hand in cards. You can see that. Helen Keller was a genius. This individual taught us many mediums of communication. And in my environment, Sherry, we are losing three of our senses. We can't taste, touch, or smell. Imagine when you have all five senses, how that experience, like eating a pizza or even giving childbirth, is some of the most incredible experiences. And you're an amazing mother. Don't tell me that's not one of the top five. And so we're eliminating three of our senses here for the experience. So I believe that our hearing should be expanded, but not only the seeing. You can't see the people, but don't tell me that books aren't better than the movies. There's a theory called image streaming, where you can give yourself better descriptions when you're explaining it to the people. And so these are the sort of skills where if people just slow down and calm down and take every 30 seconds to 2 minutes as an individual round of a fight for your own personal adjustment to their style, but still keeping them on a positive tone, you could have beautiful 10-minute conversations. Are you overanalyzing people? Well, yeah, I am, because I studied to do it. And sometimes subconsciously, people can be lazy when they're eating or when they're doing things, and especially when they're speaking. And so I believe that these are things where I'm not manipulating this or knowing when people are lying, but I'm obviously going to be confirming things with people to ensure that we're still on the same level. And this doesn't have to be done in business. This can be done with budding friendships or with strangers or when you're in the restaurant impatient. And these are the sort of things that you can just practice everywhere and anywhere. And so dedicated practice, which you and I do constantly when we're not on camera, that what prepares us for when we are on camera and on the phone. Mm-hmm. So if these people can practice these skills by themselves, they're going to be phenomenal when it's time.
Yeah. And so, well, there's so much to unpack there, but what I'm hearing is the focus is not on ourselves in the conversation, it's on the other person. And so, you know, having that, you know, what, you know, total focus on the person. Like when I'm in a coaching call with someone, it's like my entire world becomes that person. And it's a deliberate focus, and it's very powerful, because how many times has anyone ever been the total focus of someone else? And, you know, I think I can remember I was talking to, well, one of my podcast guests, Janet Nestor, she's a gorgeous energy healer. And we were talking about business, and she said to me, you know, Sherry, the greatest gift you give to people is your presence. And I actually hadn't even thought about it like quite like that before, but it's the truth. And so if you look at a conversation with someone, that this is me being fully present with someone else. So I just think you're just a remarkable person and so much fun. So if people were to take away, you know, one or two really big things from this conversation, what would you want them to take away?
The first thing, and once again, thank you for having me here. And that is my first thing. I am so grateful to not only spend time with you, but to share ideas with your audience. And you and your audience energy attracted me. So just think of how powerful you guys are. So that's you and your audience. Excellent job. Yeah. The second thing is I have twists and turns, and I've had ups and downs. But the one thing I've done is I've been very true to myself. And the most important thing is that I loved the language, that I knew that speaking a second language would open doors for me. And it would make an amazing first impression for somebody because it shows I have structure and discipline. But I took the time to show good faith and to make it easier for others. And so I believe that that's why my Wu Wei, my philosophy of least resistance, has made things very easy for me, because I've taken a Renaissance romantic poet sort of lifestyle. I had no idea where this was going to go, still have no idea. But I do know where I am today. And today I'm with Sherry and I'm having a wonderful day. And if you're going to get those two things out of it, just get the fact out of that I'm a much better person after being on this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners all over the world. So it's really kind of good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. And please let me know what your thoughts are on Richard's conversation. I would love to hear from you. Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.